Can I just review movies I really like?
Thumbs up or thumbs down, TikTok.
That's the worst.
Joker 2, thumbs down.
So no context.
No, none.
So
because your whole life is context. Your whole life is giving like a bunch of analysis and a bunch of opinion. It'd be really funny if like your movie review version was the most simplistic thing in the world. It's like thumbs up, thumbs down. Gladiator style, as if you're deciding the fate of people's deaths.
I kind of like the idea of no context reactions.
Yeah.
And it's simply reduced to a yes or no. Because
it's very powerful.
Honestly. It would drive drive engagement like crazy because it'd be like, what? Thumbs down? What are you talking about? I don't know why I'm doing this.
How could it be thumbs down?
Yeah, but are you dumb? Yes. What was that, Kayla?
I have to look it up just to confirm, but there is a TikTok creator. She goes by Ayame.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Sounds fictional.
That's how she started.
Uh-huh.
And it would be reaction videos where she would watch things like being crushed by a hydraulic press.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't give context, but she would say yes or no on whether she enjoyed it.
Oh, it's
totally
different.
Like those hydraulic press videos. Yeah. Those
always the one that started that. She has millions of followers.
Well, it's totally different because this is thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah, it's totally different.
You're a real Siskel and Ebert over there.
You wouldn't talk at all?
What? Well, I mean, people would hear Nick talk.
Yeah, that's always at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're caught on to it or not. It's always at the end.
Well, I think what you'd have to do is I have to be like, Joker 2, Foley Adu. That rhymes. That is just not
great. Part of why the movie didn't go well.
Yeah, it was because of rhyming.
No rhyming movie ever goes well. It's hokey from the title.
How many rhyming movies are there?
I can tell you a lot of non-rhyming movies.
I kind of want you to Google right now
how many
rhyming movie titles. And just see where the show goes from there.
Name me the great ones that do rhyme, I think, is the real challenge.
Well, no, it's such a specific niche. I think you're approaching this from the wrong angle.
I got the right angle.
I don't have to disprove your theory. It's your theory, and then you have to show your work.
Something as stupid as this doesn't have to have any sort of proof at all.
Well, yes, because there's got to be a precedence. That's the problem with your working theory here. Are you Googling it? Because I see you. What you guys don't see is
Battle in Seattle.
Well, that just doesn't sound like a great idea for a movie.
Bugs and Thugs.
Okay.
Chop Shop.
Chop Shop?
That's a real one. Chop Shop.
Okay,
they're all real movies.
Well, yeah, but none of these are like
A-list
big budget movies.
They made a movie out of The Cat in the Hat. That was a pretty big movie.
Okay.
Also stunk. See, movies that rhyme. Never great.
Now, wait, did you think this when you were young, or is this like you've come to it as an adult and now it sucks? Because it's not for you.
I came to this a minute and a half ago. What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about The Cat in the Hat. Because there's movies you see as a kid that you objectively know aren't good because you watched them when you were a kid.
If I had a rewatch of The Cat in the Hat?
I'm saying, did you watch it for the first time as an adult?
Haven't done that. No, I think it was a child.
Okay.
Maybe.
It came out in like 2002. That's how time works. 2002, I bet.
I was 13 years old then.
Is that real?
From Prada to Nada.
I heard that movie was wonderful.
Who's making these movies?
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Feud that with was, a Dude.
By the way, sorry, I hate Rob Schneider. I think he's a hack. Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo is very funny.
I got
Not
a movie,
in a good way.
I got a movie that rhymed that I liked.
Okay.
Good Luck Chuck.
Is that the Dane Cook one?
Yeah, come on, act like you don't know that one. Yeah. Come on now.
Who else is in that?
Is it Ashley Judd? No, maybe not.
Did you say Ashley Judd?
Hold on.
Is it Winona Judd?
No, it's Jessica Alba. Even better. Well, hold on. You can't get on me for a lack of recall on Good Luck Chuck.
You just said you liked the movie.
I did like the movie, but it was so long ago.
So no, the problem is not that you got the name wrong for Jessica Alba.
She was in at
Jessica
that point.
Alba. And the Ashley Judd.
They're all the same to me. They all played the same role in the same rom-com for like a decade straight.
I think we're
they
playing
were
the
all,
wrong game.
They
I
were all the same people.
What rom-com was Ashley Judd in, for the love of God?
Kentucky Basketball. It was a real rom-com for many years. Her and her relationship with Kentucky Hoops.
I think you just spiraled out of control with a lot of strong takes in a small amount
Hocus
of time.
Pocus.
That's a great movie. You bite your tongue.
People like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. It's a great, one of the rare, fun Halloween movies. Most of them are just
there
scary.
Were this many movies that actually rubbed. Kill Bill. People like Kill Bill a lot.
I just got Nick to watch both part one and two.
Different Nick.
For the first time.
Mike,
the basketball movie?
Yeah, that sucked. Like, sorry, Jonathan Lipnicki, that was not great. You can do better.
Wow.
Him too. Mike from Painesville, Casablanca. Does that rhyme? Is that what he's throwing in right now? Casablanca?
Isn't it one word?
It is, but
can't
rhyme. 216-474-0092.
We're gonna let
you guys decide. If a movie title rhymes, does the movie automatically suck? Now, game two sucked. We're gonna make the leap here. Game two sucked for the Guardians. Was that the opportunity to take this series?
I mean, yeah, it was the opportunity to take the series.
See, okay, I think it was a opportunity. I think calling it the opportunity is wildly premature.
You had Scooble. You had him right where you wanted him. How am I supposed to guarantee that if it goes to a game five that you're going to be able to have the same type of setup that you just had with Scooble, where you had him basically null and void?
You're already getting too far ahead of yourself. They've got two games to avoid.
They got to win games three and four then.
Yeah, okay. And?
That seems like a pretty hard task.
Well, what's harder, beating Tarek Skubal in Game 5 or beating Chaos?
See how both seem really hard to me right now?
I mean, I think beating the bullpen two games in a row seems a lot easier than beating Tarek Skubal.
You win Game 2 and we're not even having a discussion. We're getting ourselves ready for ALCS.
So
are you
just salty that they didn't sweep the Tigers? They're a good team.
No, I'm just playing a reality. The reality is that Game 2 was a massive opportunity.
Okay, it was a massive opportunity, but can we really be that upset about a game that everyone agreed you'll be lucky to win this game?
No, I think that's my problem with the game in hindsight, though, is it feels like everyone's just like, well, we were supposed to lose against Skubal, so I guess just it played out the way that it was supposed to.
Ooh, I don't know. I think people just realize.
It completely negates the idea that you had Skubal out of the equation.
I guess my thing is, I'm not that upset about game two. One, because I didn't expect them to sweep the Tigers. I expected the Tigers to get at least one. It's logical that would be the game you get it. Two, I'm not that upset about it because you have every opportunity to make up for it. Like, if this was game four, and now, of course, this wouldn't make sense because you wouldn't be facing Skubal again, but in this case, if this was game four and you were up two games to one and this thing was going back to Detroit, then all of a sudden saying, well, you were at home, the series was on the line, you had a chance to finish it off, now it's one game. Your margin for error is the same as theirs. So, like, now it's just even again. So now it's who's going to take.
I think that's how a lot of fans are approaching it. Like, we got a fresh three-game set, and I just don't know that I look at it that way.
I just don't think people are going to hammer Class A. Bad pitch, bad moment to have a bad pitch. Like, it's the most logical of losses that you can have.
Well, you can't hammer Class A. He's had such a tremendous season. It just feels wrong to hammer Class A. Like, yeah. it doesn't feel like the. You know, it's in the 0-1 World Series when Mariano does blow the save. You treat it differently than when Byung-Hun Kim blew the save in Yankee Stadium for the Diamondbacks. Like, they're different, you know? When Byung-Hun Kim blows it, you're like, well, he did what Byung-Hun Kim is supposed to do in that spot. But when Mariano blows it in a Game 7, you're like, oh, wow, they got after him then? Like, there is a difference there. And I think Class A's earned that benefit of the doubt. For me, though, it completely changes the complexity of the series. It tilts it back in Detroit's favor.
So to you, the context of how you lose matters?
What mattered the most to me was that a couple things happened. One, you negated Skubal, as we talked about. But the other one, this told the Tigers that our ninth innings had been inevitable the entire season. Like, ninth innings just had ceased to exist for us because Class A was so great. Now it takes the ninth inning back into play for me.
Ooh, yeah, I'm just not there. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think that is a logical thing of, hey, I just burnt my hand on the stove. I'm never going to touch the stove again. I'm just not there. Like, I think this series is still in front of them. And ideally, you'd like to not have to either face Skubal at home again or have to win the next two games in Detroit. And playoffs aren't ideal. And if I said coming off the game one win, let's see how Detroit handles it. Same thing with the Gardos. All right, this is the first time this team, as constructed this year, has lost in the playoffs. Do you come out and do you play tight in game three, or do you hop on them and try and take this thing where it goes?
I just think it would have been so demoralizing to the Tigers if we could have not only did what happened in game one, which I think really was like that was an eye-opening moment for Detroit, because they had been able to go through everything they've done. Think about it. They took down the Astros like it was easy. Hey, Astros aren't supposed to be easy. They did it with ease. And also the last part of the 2 months of the season, I think they were walking around like they were invincible, Nick.
And
game one against the Guardians showed why they're that much better of a team. And I think you had them in a good spot. You really did. And now I think everything flipped.
They had one good inning offensively and in the first two games of the season or the series, and they had Scooble. That's more how I'm looking at it. 216-474-0092 was yesterday the Guardians' chance to steal the series. Smash or pass, Guardians edition, next on 92.3 The Fan.